Mr. Twentieth.
Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, October the 28th, 2021. And it is the morning for me. And my return guest this morning is Ronald Arias, who you will know as the infamous Dutch pilot who has had the strength, fortitude, conviction to fight the imposition and application of FATCA to him personally and by extension to a large number of so-called accidental Americans in Holland. And by the way, there's a very well-developed group of accidental Americans there. And when I spoke to him in, I think, April, which was my first conversation with him, we had talked about basically the first hearing, his first court hearing, where the court ruled that yes, he had to comply with the FATCA regulations and provide all of this good information to the bank to avoid his account being shut down. But what I have learned is that, you know, not to take this stuff lying down, that he has appealed this. There will be an appeal heard on November the 11th, and that is part of what we are going to talk about today. So welcome, Ronald, and as I did last time, I remember, did I get it right so far?
Yes, you got it perfectly right. It's all in order. It's even my surname is in now in the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm getting better. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Okay. So basically, let's just sort of begin with what's been happening since we last talked.
There has been some debates in Holland, but I have to start to say, John, it is still a real nightmare in Holland, in whole Europe. It is unbelievable, John, how much stress it gives those, the discrimination that continues. Because when the last debate in Holland was in September 28, we had contact with our representatives of the house, and before the debate started, I just dived in all the files you could find of our government hitting the word FATCA as from 2011, and I tried to make a kind of a formula that our representatives could easily find it as a backup where to start. I started in 2011, and I saw that all these members of our representatives, yeah, they believed FATCA was a good idea, and even in 2015, FATCA was signed by the signing of the IGA, the Intercontinental Government Agreement.
Yeah, the IGAs. The world. So the FATCA IGA signed in 2015.
Yeah, and the most curious thing I thought when I was just diving into it, that after they had signed it, suddenly they came up with questions. Does it hurt our citizens? So what's going to happen about dual taxation? So I tried to find out if these representatives of the House are being misled by our government, or are they not interested? So far, I did not get any answer on that. Because a lot of representatives are already gone, they went somewhere else. So every time we have to face new members, new representatives, and that makes it much harder to get it all the time in the debates.
So just sort of the normal turnover in the electoral process.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Only one thing is that mostly the Minister of Finance is already there in a seat for more than these representatives of the House. So for him it's easily just to neglect the questions, just not give the correct answers and just, you know, turn around, so nothing going to happen. Then I also found out, because I was looking of what is really in fact FATCA, and I found out that FATCA was hidden in the Higher Act. Now you know that much better than I did, and I think it's just an empty box, because it's a way by politics that all this Higher Act has to be paid by some money.
Yeah, let's pause on that for a moment for the listeners. Okay, I mean, you introduced an important point with that. And I think that this has been long forgotten, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, the way U.S. laws are made, very often they have to include what's called a revenue offset, which is how they're going to pay for this. Now, of course, the HIRE Act, which was, well, ostensibly, it appeared to be the prime purpose of the legislation. HIRE, H-I-R-E, stands for Hiring Incentives to Restore Employment. And, you know, what it really was a, you know, they were going to spend money to do this, obviously. And so they always look for ways to pay for that. And what was interesting about FATCA is it was a revenue offset. Okay. And by the way, what it actually also is, was, you know, amending all kinds of different laws, you know, at the same time. But the extraordinary thing about it is that because it was a revenue offset, nobody even knew that was in it. Yeah. I mean, it was just pure stealth legislation, if you can imagine.
Yeah, correct. And I also found out that the cost of forcing FATCA is so high. And if you talk about revenue, the revenue is very low. And if I say, okay, even in Holland, because we are very always doing business, even in Holland it happens that we have to chase all these accidental Americans, we have to chase this and chase that. But it costs so much money and the revenue is almost zero. In Holland they say about the accidental Americans, from all the accidental Americans who are cooperating with it, only less than 5% has in fact to pay some taxes to the United States. But these are the people who are, let's say they have a house in the United States for the holidays, or they have.
You mean that it's like U.S. source income?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I say, if the revenue is so tremendously low, stop this whole bullshit. Because if you run a business doing like this, just telling the people, yeah, what we're doing is very good. No, this system, the FATCA, is really hurting people. In Holland, about, now let's say, now it's not even Holland, in Europe about 9 million expats are living from the United States. They are denied bankings, they're denied mortgages, they cannot build up their pension. Okay, but they are still have higher, let's say, bigger ties with the United States of America. We don't. In Europe it's about, there's an estimate at least 300,000 citizens of Europe who are being hurt by it. And if you just account also their family members in it, it's even more. Let's face it, if I lose my bank accounts, my partner's being hurt, is hurt, my daughter's being hurt, a lot of people are being hurt by it.
Absolutely, it's a total flow through. I mean, it makes, the way you put it, you know, you're giving sort of a good example of the following principle, that what the U.S. government has essentially completely destroyed the value of American citizenship.
Yeah.
Unless you want to live in the United States, and really just turn it into a horrible liability.
Yeah. And so let's say I pack up my things, I sell this house, and I go to South Dakota. What will happen to me then? I don't think I have to pay tax over there. Because they don't give my numbers on tax from South Dakota to Washington. So why should Holland give all my information to the United States? But I live here.
Well, you make a really good point. I mean, the way FATCA works is that it's not an exchange of information at all. They shouldn't call it automatic information exchange. They should call it one-way information extortion.
Yeah.
Because the way it works is that everybody, the whole world, has to give information to the United States, but the United States won't give information to the world.
No.
And, you know, as many people have, and I've had many guests on the podcast who, you know, who've commented on this, that particular feature of FATCA, one-way information extortion, coupled with the unwillingness of the United States to join the Common Reporting Standard, actually has turned the United States, and, you know, we can say South Dakota, as a very, very important place in the world to hide assets.
Yeah, but just talk about Delaware. Who's coming? Who was born? He's coming from Delaware.
And there's Delaware too.
But who's coming from there, from Delaware?
Who's coming?
The president
of the United States is from Delaware.
Yeah, correct. So, okay. But the thing is that now suddenly we see the, I don't know if you know the Pandora Papers, if you see the Cum-Ex files. What's going on?
I have read all about the Pandora Papers. What was your take on the Pandora Papers?
There's so much money.
Was your name in them?
No, of course. My name is only in the FATCA files.
And that could be the next big leak. The FATCA files.
So if you read this, I cannot read all these files because it's a huge pile of paperwork. But if you want some money, in the United States are people, very rich people like Jeff Bezos. Don't they pay a share of that, of the tax? I don't think so.
Well, apparently not. And interestingly, as we speak, I mean, this is amazing. As we speak, on October the 28th, 2021, the Senate Finance Committee, as per Senator Wyden, is actually proposing a sort of form of billionaires tax on people like that. They're actually trying to fund this bill by taxing about 100 people, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the whole U.S. tax system is crazy.
I don't have a toy to fly to space and back.
You don't?
I don't have it. No, I don't.
But you got the piloting skills.
But it goes 41,000 feet. It's not high enough. And it was not even my own. Was not even my own plane. I could maybe
call Jeff and say, "Hey, Jeff, this is Ronald."
Yeah. Can I join one day?
I'd like to be your pilot.
Yeah, it makes me so upset. It makes me thinking about why, what is going on in this world? It's crazy.
It's totally crazy. And, you know, to add to the craziness, as you know, we were talking about earlier, I mean, there's one group of people that for sure is not doing anything to make it less crazy. And these are these politicians, right?
That's right. Yeah. And you see, I read about, suddenly I heard on the television that the Americans are screaming out loud fire when the IRS comes in and snooping around their accounts, in their accounts for more than 6,000 annual transactions.
Well, let's talk about that. So right now, you know, basically Americans abroad, their accounts are getting reported to the IRS, right?
Yeah. But the thing is that if you really...
Americans... Any suggestion that their accounts be reported to the IRS? Well, unless you're a member of the Democratic Party, of course, okay? But generally speaking, any suggestion that their accounts be reported to the IRS, people go ballistic.
Yeah.
By the way, that particular provision seems to have been, I'll use the phrase deep sixed, meaning it's gone. You know,
I don't know, going to raise to $10,000, something like that?
Well, what they did first they started, I mean, it's a joke. The first version of this was, so every bank in America has to report to the IRS for all their accounts, the total inflows and outflows for the year, if it exceeds $600. So, you know, obviously there's no way to have an account. So then people were complaining. I think they started saying, and then they all said, well, this is to catch the billionaire. So then they said, okay, well, we'll raise it from $600 to $10,000. There's no difference between $600 and $10,000 from an annual, you know, in and out point of view, right?
Yeah.
And then what they said, but you know what? Not only will we raise to $10,000, but we're going to exempt people who are employed and therefore their tax information automatically goes to the government anyway. Which is really employed to divide.
Yeah, but I was employed as well in Holland.
You would have been safe.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be safe. But no, I'm not safe because I'm a U.S. person.
Well,
and I should pay tax.
You're a U.S. person outside the United States. I mean, maybe the key point is this, that if you don't want your bank accounts reported, maybe you better move back to America.
I don't want to go back to America. I don't live here. I don't want anything to do with it.
Good
point. I have my life here.
Well, you're not even an American. This is the interesting thing. I mean, the whole idea of somebody's an American, they can be forced to be an American just because they were born in America is, you know, probably a subject for another podcast, but I think completely over the top.
Yeah. And what I also don't understand, really don't understand, is that all the time you speak to any member of the government, they state they cannot break open the IGAs. So I said, why not? If I look to the nuclear agreement from the United States, they just say, okay, we just break this agreement open from one side only. And every time they don't want to discuss the breaking up the IGA. And it's I don't know, because it's like an I like to explain it more simplified what an agreement means. You know, after the last debate, the Pandora paper came up, and whose name was popping up? Our Minister of Finance, Mr. Wopke Hoekstra.
Your Minister of Finance?
Mine is, yeah. So let me state this one. Is it the Minister of Finance, Wopke Hoekstra, he walks with the State Secretary Hans Velbrief on the Virgin, on the British Virgin Islands, and just passed by a candy store. And Wopke suggested, shall we buy a candy bar and split it? Hans says, yes, agree. We have an agreement. And after they are buying the bar, Wopke walks out of the store whilst eating both parts of the candy bar. Hans reacts immediately surprised. He said, ho, 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 we had an agreement. And Wopke responds with, yes, but it's my law. That's what happened to Vatka. It's just an agreement. And it's not, and they say Vatka is American law. That is correct. But you said, they told all the European countries, said, okay, we have an agreement. And within that agreement, we have Vatka imposed on all their citizens. So why can't you tell us, listen, the agreement is there, but this is not correct. We stop this, that and that, and we're going to take these accidental Americans at least out of it.
Well, you know, you make a good point, and I think there are a number of ways. I mean, there are a number of ways of doing it. But first of all, let's comment on the agreement. Okay, the way the United States interprets an agreement like that is that it obligates other countries to do things, but not the United States. That's their definition of an agreement. You know, as you can see, because they're clearly not, you know, I mean, there's no reciprocity whatsoever. In fact, the IGAs very clearly state that there is no obligation of reciprocity, that it's sort of aspirational, that someday, you know, U.S. Treasury might aspire to what they call equivalent levels of exchange. But notice it's not the same kind of thing. It says equivalent. And equivalent is probably defined in terms of definitions of tax residency. And because only the United States has citizenship-based taxation, the United States would have greater information needs than other countries. So, you know, the way it's drafted, the problem is that what it really says is not what people think it actually says. But I agree with you that there ought to be, that if it's an agreement, you know, that sort of suggests there ought to be some obligation on the part of the United States. But I don't think there's any chance of them ever doing that. Now, the second point is this, that, you know, clearly, Netherlands can pull out of the agreement. There's no problem. They just have to give notice and pull out of the agreement. You know, they don't want to do that because then they're worried that it just resorts back to FATCA. But here's a third point that I would invite you to consider, and it's this. And this is where I think the Netherlands is the same as FATCA. I'm pretty sure. Now, in the Canada-U.S. Tax Treaty, there's a provision that says the Canada Revenue Agency will not help the IRS collect on a tax debt if somebody was a Canadian citizen. I believe the Netherlands has a similar provision in their own tax treaty with the United States. And my argument would be that that should be used as a carve out in the FATCA IGA, saying that those who are citizens of the Netherlands, okay, who are the citizens of the Netherlands living in the Netherlands, should be carved out, you know, from these FATCA obligations. Now, it's my memory is that Netherlands is a country with one of those treaties. I may be wrong because I didn't recheck this before our conversation this morning. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, they have.
I think that's actually also a good argument because, you know, that distinguishes, you know, very clearly the whole issue of, you know, resident Americans who are opening up bank accounts in the Netherlands to evade tax. And what a stupid concept to begin with, right? But it certainly separates that group of people from people like you who, you know, you just happen to have been born in the United States. So what would you think about a citizenship or dual citizenship based carve out to FATCA? Would you be for that?
Now that's what they're working on, because that's what our Minister of Finance was, and also his Secretary of State said. It's easy to go that we would be exempted, or that we find a way out that we do not would lose our American citizenship. But hey, listen, he never asked. I don't care. They can have my American citizenship because it's only a place of birth. That's all it is. I don't have any ties to the United States, so I'm not American. So he doesn't
you're
have
not
to
American.
Take.
They're telling so he, you you're American. Interestingly, yeah, so, the result of all this stuff, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
What seems to be completely lost on anybody in the United States or American politicians is that American citizenship is now the only citizenship in the world that's clearly worth renouncing.
Yeah, correct.
So number one, and number two, there are people who will pay all kinds of money to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you start suing the governments or the banks, even we already announced this, that we have the Dutch Association of the Extended Americans, they were trying to find a pro bono law firm to represent them. They could not find any of them. And the reason? The big law firms are afraid the banks will end their relationship with them because they're doing a lot of work for the banks.
That's
and the
right.
second one, and the second
well,
one, if
or they can't just because of conflict of interest, yeah.
Yeah, correct. And that's what, and they're even afraid that in the near future they won't get any representation offer for to represent the banks. So they won't help us. So there is no representation for us at all. So we are being sent back to the Justice Department. To go to law to how do you call it to the High Court or so, to see if we can fight our rights. But the judge in the appeal on the judge in 2020 he said, okay, listen, there might be a possibility that you were avoiding tax. So yeah, the banks are allowed to close down your bank account. But after the appeal, the second judge he said, hey, listen. If you say to somebody, how do you call it, that he is a tax avoider, you have to prove it. You just cannot go on a hunch that somebody is a tax invader. So you have to prove that if somebody is a tax invader, and then, yes, then you are right, then you can close his bank account. But everything what happened now in Holland, and I think it's all in Europe and in the United States, everything is done on a hunch. It's the rule of law the other way around. You're guilty until proven innocent, and I think that's a wrong approach to it.
Well, I think it's the wrong approach. Clearly, what's interesting about it is, though, it shows you the extent to which taxes become sort of the number one issue. Because there was a time when presumptions of innocence and basic, human rights things were values worth protecting. But those are not values worth protecting if they interfere with tax administration.
No, correct.
Now, that's the interesting point. And so I think one might usefully ask the question, would you rather live in a society where individuals have some basic rights and have some tax evasion going on? Or would you rather live in a society where people have no basic rights, and there's still some tax evasion going on.
Right? I think I was listening to a radio broadcast one day, and there was a very intellectual guy, and he said, "Listen, all these things what's happening in Holland and in the world, they would like to rule everything, to try to avoid every tax evasion. But if you just and how much money it will take, like all this know your customer thing at the banks and so, and trying to fade out all this tax and whitewashing and so. He said, if you just accept that about 3% of the whole world population does something wrong, just accept it. That will cost less money, much less money than what's happening now. The banks are paying so much money in finding people who are a possible tax invader, a possible whitewashing. Just stop that all. Sometimes you catch one.
It's not even tax evasion at all, for a very, very simple reason. I mean, let's look at the facts of what's going on here. So you have a resident of the Netherlands who has a financial brokerage account that earns some interest. Okay.
Yeah.
Say that person's a dual citizen and that person also files a U.S. tax return. The point is that sure, the interest may be taxable in the United States, but the tax paid in the Netherlands would be used as a credit against that tax anyway, and is often higher. So I mean, I think it's ridiculous to even have the discussion on the basis that there might be some tax evasion or tax avoidance. I mean, it is incredibly difficult, for that to even happen.
Yeah,
No, the
correct.
whole thing is just about bureaucracy control, just for the sake of it and nothing more. I mean, it is absolutely insane. It is, been rolled out without any understanding of what it actually means or any understanding of what U.S. citizenship taxation means. Even the way the IGAs are phrased, misconstrue tax residency, the definition. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. Question is, at what point will this come to an end? Now, looking forward to your hearing, which I believe is November the 11th. So I understand this to be an appeal. Okay. And what do you know about it? How many judges, et cetera?
I think it's only one judge, and already in August I received on the proceedings of the merits a verdict, and that the plaintiff, which is I, that he said I had sufficient preceded interest in the incidental claim in view of the imminent closure of the payment accounts and saving accounts on November 1st, 2021, and this is related to the main claim, and it's earned. At a provision that can be granted for the duration of the pending proceedings on the merits. He says, okay, yeah, it's so much involved, he cannot, there should be a hearing that will take place on November the 11th. And he also told the bank that they could not close my accounts for the remainder of 2021, because that is what the Minister of Finance had already spoken in a debate early 2021. But the Minister of Finance, he always said that there was also one certain person. He went to court and he lost over there. So there could be anything else being involved, which is not true, because there's nothing involved. I only stepped up and said, listen, this is not right. So I would like to protect me and all the other victims of FATCA in Holland. And
That
he's
is absolutely fantastic that, and I really congratulate you and admire you for having taken such a leadership role here.
yeah. And the thing is that, I think that the most interesting thing is that he said, yeah, the Volksbank, which I was, is the Regiobank where I'm now banking. And he said, okay, you rightly point out, committing a tax offense can also lead to money laundering. After all, the person who evades tax then disposes of funds from any crime, namely the wrongly not paid taxes. But he says this therefore requires the tax have actually been evaded. However, the Volksbank has not put forward any facts or circumstances that make plausible that tax should have been actually paid in the US. So what he said, in fact, is that they have to prove that I was, in fact, a tax evader. And I cannot prove it because, yeah, he said there's already a declaration that less than 5% of the extended Americans who file a tax return has to pay some tax, not much, some tax. But the cost you have to make to do all this tax returns. We estimated around for 5 years around 10,000 euros. And if you do it yourself, you do something wrong, you immediately get a fine of $10,000.
At
So
least
everybody.
one fine. At least it's $10,000 per mistake. If it comes to some of these forms, these information returns. I mean, God help you if you decide that something you have is a foreign trust or something.
Yeah. So how can we do that? So we have to hire these people who are very familiar with the American tax system, and they're rare in Holland, so they can ask a lot of money for it.
Oh, it's
So
just
well.
absolutely ridiculous. But I mean, let me just ask you a simple question here, just in case this point is lost. So, you've lived in Holland your own life, your whole life, basically, right?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And I assume that you file a tax return or you have some kind of a tax declaration every year there.
Every year, yeah.
And I would have to imagine that you probably pay some taxes to Holland, yes?
I pay a lot of taxes, yeah. We have a high rate. I think 2021 it will go for 49.5%
But
on the
nobody
income
could
rate.
ever say that Ronald's not paying taxes, right?
No, of course not.
So how can he be a tax evader?
That's what the Volksbank tells me that I am.
Even though you're paying tax.
Yeah, and that is the only, because I don't believe in in the rule of law any longer, because but I think that this judge, he said the merits, I said, listen, you have to prove that he's a tax invader. But the only thing is what's happening is that our Minister of Finance say, listen, if you don't go and get a TIN number or an SSN number,
Social Security number, yeah.
Social Security number, whatever, it could be possible that you're not paying tax to the United States, so it is you might be possible a tax invader. And every time it was a representative of the social party in Holland said, hey, listen, this exactly is going to happen. You tell the banks not to close their bank accounts when they're not render an SSN number or a TIN number, but they do because you say, listen, they have an O number, so it's possible they're money launderers. And our minister of finance is just looking around and saying, oh, yeah, okay. And I was so surprised that the next day in the Pandora papers, his name pops up. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, it is totally unbelievable. I mean, it sounds to me like there are two kinds of presumed tax evaders.
Yeah.
Those and I who think pay tax and those who don't.
But the thing is, in the politics, it's good that, it's really not good. It's what happened to the Dutch child and benefit scandal, which I already mentioned earlier. It's in Holland about estimated 26,000 parents, they're citizens. Only, let's say, a mother or a father with one child, they get some benefits. They're being crushed by false allegations of fraud. The fundamental principles of the rule of law has been violated. And it still continues by our Dutch government. And they are even lying under oath. It's unbelievable. It's a banana republic we have here. And the Dutch government will say, oh, we fixed it in a short notice. But I just watched also Greta Thunberg reaction on the politics. Blah, 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 blah. And she's right. And she's really right. It's blah, blah, blah. And now even, there was also a reflection by the duty courthouse. The judges, they left the vast majority of parents out in the cold in the allowance affair. And they served bad from the legal tunnel vision the judges had. So the administrative judges, they must dare to side with ordinary citizens. That is the conclusion of the researchers. And that's the same what happened in my case in 2020. The judge went only looking to the government, what the government is saying and the banks are saying, but they should look to the individual. They are the ones who are being suffered, they are being harmed.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, apparently in Western democracies, these elected representatives are not doing a very good job of being representatives for their citizens, right? Yeah. I mean, what I find amazing about this is how difficult it is to get any elected official to see that there's anything wrong, that there's anything going on here that's wrong. I mean, they seem perfectly happy with the idea that the United States, via FACT and citizenship taxation, sort of just, knock on the door of any country and say, hi, we're here to take inventory and we want to decide which of your citizens are actually our tax residents, right?
Yeah,
no, they
right.
Just say, oh, please do, come on in, we'll give you this one, I mean, it's absolutely insane. I mean, why do they do this?
Yeah, but it's the same what happened when it just, in 2011 to 2013, it was all discussed. It says, yeah, who's going to do it? Who's going to search for these U.S. persons in the Netherlands? And it's like if you walk on a kindergarten playground and the bankers, they said, oh, yeah, can I do it? Okay, and the state secretary of finance says, oh, yeah, that's very nice, the banks will do it. And then suddenly, when the penalty arises of 30%, yeah, now they're going to harden up and say, oh, listen, we did not foresee that. So they never ask the good questions. So what is in for us? Because the government says, okay, they're going to wash their hands and the banks are the blame. But I think the politics are the blame.
It's absolutely, it's crazy. I mean, let me ask you, so you go through your whole life and, from our first discussion, I know that you were just born in the U.S., never spent any time there. So you have this great career, you're flying these planes around that. During all these years where you were, living in Holland and running, did you ever imagine that you would become sort of the symbol of a group of people who are discriminated against and abused for no reason other than they were born in the United States? I mean, did you realize that this is what was in store for you?
No, of course not. I was enjoying. I said, okay, I'm going to retire and going to enjoy my time and living here.
Well,
together
you
with
have
my partner.
Carved out. Yeah. In fact, I think that probably, I think there's some purpose in the universe and the reason that you were to retire was because you were the right person to fight this cause.
Yeah, but the thing is also that I think it's so much misuse of power. Let's say I was still a captain, and I said, listen, one of these people who are forcing vodka on us, he would like to step on board. I said, oh, no, sir, no, madam, you're not allowed to board. He says, why not? He said, that's because my power. I can then deny you your entrance in my airplane. And I don't have to mention anything. Why not? Because if such a person would enter my airplane, I have to fly home. I think my thoughts are not in the correct way that I could fly the airplane safely, because all the time I'm thinking about the person behind me who is screwing me all the time. But I think that's the misuse of power.
Sure is.
I never did that. Yeah, only once. I had a very drunken person, a Norwegian guy. I said, oh, listen, you're too drunk, you're not going to step aboard on my airplane. And that's the only thing I used my power.
Well, yeah, because he was drunk. It was not because he was born in the United States, right?
Yeah, no, he was a Norwegian, and he was big. I said, listen, if you want to go have a drink, you just shift aside the stewardess and you take your whole bottle. I nobody can stop you. So no, sir, no, you're not going on my aircraft. So please be sober for the next flight, and then we will take you.
But never once did you say, all U.S. citizens, raise your hands, get off my plane.
No, no, never, never, no. I was always enjoying having them because they're really nice people. But I think a lot of the Americans, they don't know what's going on.
They have no idea what's going on, none at all.
No.
But so, I think that this proposal from the Biden administration, from the Democrats, you know, about their banking information go to the IRS, you know, that gave some of them a scare. Not all of them. You know, a lot of them think this is a really good idea, right? But it certainly gave some of them a scare.
Yeah. But what is their revenue? What is their revenue? What is their revenue for these people? How can they step to the camera and say, listen, this is good. We get all a lot of money and the higher act is being paid. No, it's not being paid.
Even if they got a bunch of money, it still would not be good, okay? I mean, you know, the point is that this is wrong regardless of the outcome. The lack of revenue being raised just reinforces the absurdity of it. But it doesn't reinforce the fundamental unfairness of it. The unfairness of it is to allow the United States to go around, scour the world, and claim the tax residents of other countries as their own tax residents. That's where the real injustice is.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you talk about the hairdressing place that was closed, or, you know, I've been very moved by your description of, you know, how you, you know, allowed people to reach out to you and help them and their, you know, their panic, their terror. I mean, this is an extremely terrifying thing. I mean, this is completely wrong. And the lack of revenue argument, I personally think, is completely irrelevant. I mean, it almost suggests that if somehow they could justify getting some revenue out of it, that it would make it okay. It's not okay under any standard. At least that's my view of it. Would you agree?
I agree totally with you, John, really.
And on that note, I think, we'll pause for today and we'll pick this up after November the 11th and see how the hearing goes. Does that sound good?
That sounds good, yeah.
All right. Well, fantastic. It's been great to speak with you again. We've had, I always find you to be such an interesting, lively person to speak with and very articulate. And I absolutely admire your passion on this. It's very important. And by the way, in the cosmos, this is the reason why you retired from KLM, right? Was it KLM
you
were flying for?
Yeah, it was KLM, yeah.
From KLM.
Yeah.
Because this is your new purpose. So keep up the great work, Ronald.
Okay, I'll try it, John. I'll try, really. Okay, thank you for having me. I'll speak to you soon and maybe next month then.
Yeah, we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up after the 11th. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.